Continuing the Rambam, Hilchas Chiras Perk Yud Halacha Hei, Chapter 10, Law 5. We're now going to discuss an issue where if you bring raw materials to a professional and then he ruins them. So what's the halacha over there? Hamolich chitain litchon. A person brings grain to a person whose job is to grind it up for the person, and he gets paid for that job. Now, part of grinding grain is you have to soak the grain in water to soften it up first, and then you grind it in a grinder to take off the shells that are off that, whatever. It's a whole grinding process, and that's how you make clean bread. But part of that is you've got to do that little soaking process first. So that's what he was hired to do, and look what he did. Velo lissason. He didn't soak them, that pre-soak, sufficiently. It can't be that he didn't do it at all, because then it would be a complete negligence, and then it'd be mamish, like he was mamish destroying it with his hands. It wouldn't be a shiloh, but here, he didn't soak it properly, and as a result, when you finished the grinding and it wasn't soaked properly, va'ason subim, it became a bran type of flour, which is not the kind that the person wanted, like not such a fine flour, or mursan, or it's a coarse flour. Definitely not what the person wanted when he gave it to him. So there was some negligence involved in not doing it properly. Situation one. Situation two. Nasan ha-kemach l'nachtum. A person brought flour to a baker. So the job of the baker was to take the flour and bake good breads. V'aso pas nefulin. And he makes literally crummy bread. The bread would crumble a lot. So he didn't do the job of making the bread that was wanted. Or behema l'tavach, you take an animal to the butcher, he has to ritually slaughter it correctly, and instead v'nibla, he shechted it improperly and created the animal to be an avela, which cannot be eaten. So what's the luck with all these three people? Chayovim l'shalem demehem. So the workers have to pay the loss that happened. Mipnei Shehem, no say sachar, because they are considered like paid workers, and the paid worker has to take things responsibly, even if the fellow was an expert, okay, in this area, okay, and you know we could maybe want to say this is an onase, it's an accident. So here's the issue here. You might want to say, well, you know, usually these guys know what they're doing. He mixes flour and water, and he makes a good challah. This time didn't come out. What happened? Usually the guy shechts. Normally it's okay. This time didn't shecht. So you might think that maybe it was an ones. Maybe it was an accident, which a shomer sachar is putter for. That's what you might think. But we say, no, it's not what we call an ones gomur. It's not a complete accident, because since we're paying the fellow, he has to be taking extra care in what he's doing. So even though a shomer socher in general is potter on a true ones, but when he's not able to stop it, and we could say the guy was doing things normally, but since he's paid to do the job that he's doing, therefore he has to pay for this, and it's not considered an ones, an accident beyond his control. Now I'm sure there could be maybe some situations we could craft that could be accidents beyond his control. You know, he put the stuff in the oven, and then some children were, you know, broke into the house and destroyed the oven while it was baking, and then opened the oven, whatever. But we're talking about a simple case with no other factors to attribute this fault for. Okay, now, this is a fellow who's being paid, even if he is an expert, lefikach. Therefore, imhoya tabach mumcha. But on the other hand, let's say the person who is doing the slaughtering was an expert in his field. Okay, in other words, his hands are sturdy, steady, and they don't make any mistakes. Okay, v'shachah b'chinam, and now the guy asked him to do it for free for him. Well, now free already, you know, it's not the same level of care as expected, although Jews expect everything to be perfect for nothing, but if, in terms of halacha, it's not so. Then potter moshamras have to pay, because that already is sufficient ones for the Shomer Chinam to be potter for on an ones. Okay, so that already, this is a different level of care that's expected. So, you know, as opposed to being paid, so that type of an accident would be acceptable. If the guy's paid, then that kind of accident wouldn't be sufficient. But since he's an expert and it's free, then he'd be free from having to pay for this. On the other hand, if the guy asks him to do it, but if he wasn't an expert, even though he gave it to him to do it for free, in that case, he has to pay, because then he's negligent. Why? Because the guy knows he's not such an expert. If you know you're not such an expert, then don't, you should say, you know, I'm not such an expert, really, I shouldn't do this. Right. Right. Even for free. Now, similarly, let's say you have a type of a coin, and you're not exact, and you want to buy this coin, but you don't know how authentic the coin is. It could be a forgery, maybe it's not the real thing, maybe it's not pure gold and silver, whatever. So he takes it to a money changer. And money changers are supposed to be experts in this area. V'amarlo, and the money changer says, Yafahu, it's a good coin, there's nothing to worry about the coin. And now the fellow goes and buys it from the other person who offered it to him. And then, after a little bit of time, guess what? V'nim tzara, we see that the coin is not a good coin. And that initial evaluation from the money changer was not a good evaluation. So now, is the money changer liable to pay for the loss? So it depends. Im besacharo, if he paid the money changer for this, then chayav l'sham, he has to pay. Af al pi shubak, even though the money changer is an expert, v'nim tzara l'sham, he doesn't have to be taught how to do this. Doesn't matter, he has to exercise more caution and care because he's getting paid. And on the other hand, v'im b'chinam ro, but if he showed it him for free, potter, then he's potter, but it has to be that he's an expert. That the money changer is an expert. So then, that we could call an accident, that he didn't have to have the same care over it because he wasn't getting paid. On the other hand, if he made a bucket, but he wasn't an expert and offered his opinion, then again, Chayav L'sham has to pay off of Ish B'chim, and it's for free, because there was a negligence, since you know you're not such an expert. However, all these halachas in this last section with the money changer, it all depends on the following point. Vushiyomer l'shulchani, this is when he tells the money changer, Alecha ani soimech, I am relying on you. Okay, if he doesn't tell him that, so the guy will say, oh, I didn't know this was like for real. You know, a lot of people just, you know, say, oh, you know, when the doctor's at a wedding, you just start telling them all your symptoms, you know. You know, I don't know if it ever happened. If they go to a doctor and they ask him, they tell them, and then things don't work out, if they can sue them for malpractice. I don't know. But anyway, so the guy says, yes, the coin's good. You know, I don't know if you plan on using this. I just gave you a quick opinion. Listen, for free, what do you expect for free at a chasna? Oh, take a look at this coin for me. Yeah, my stomach looks okay. But I didn't realize your mom is relying on me. You're going to make a business deal out of this. That's not or the context would have to show that he's relying on him because he's saying I'm not going to show it to anybody else, and this is right before the business is going to be conducted. So then that's already a different situation. Now, what about tabach she'asa b'chinam? What about a butcher who's willing to do the work for nothing? V'nibel, and subsequently the shechita doesn't work out. V'chein shulchani she'amar, and similarly the money changer says, yofa, it's good, v'nim tzara, and spab. This one they did it for free. V'chein kolka yitzbaza. So now the question is, the difference is, we said it's the difference if he's an expert or not. If he's an expert, it's considered an accident. If he's not, the question is, how do we know if he's an expert or not? The guy has a stand, he's a money changer. But we don't have all these documents that say he's an expert in this and that, a shechita. We don't know if he's an expert. So now so it makes a big difference if they're an expert, not if they have to pay or not. So the guy, the shechit will obviously say, what will the shechit want to claim? I'm an expert. Right? They're going to say, I don't think you're an expert. You can't be much of an expert if you messed up on that. So what do we do? So these people who are being under this criticism have to bring a proof that they're an expert. Sheikh would have to whip out a document of Kabbalah that he has been reaffirmed by rabbis that he could do this, whatever. If they don't bring a proof that they're an expert, the assumption is they're not. and mishalmim, and they have to pay. Halacha vav. Mokam shenogu shia notea ilonos notel chatzi hashevach ubalakarka chatzi. Okay, if in a place where the custom is, we're talking now about a person who's being hired to plant trees in another person's field. And if the custom is that in such a situation, the man who plants gets half the profits, and the owner of the field gets half the profits. If that's the situation. And what happened? And he's asking him to plant for him two separate orchards in two separate areas. So what happened? So he plants one orchard, vishbiach, and it was good, it made profit. Let's say this orchard made $200 profit. Okay, so now he would get half the profit, and the owner would get, the land would get half the profit. But the problem is, there's a second orchard he planted. And the second one, venota vihivsid, the second one incurred great damages. Okay? So it's certainly, they lost on that one. So now, what do you do? It's an interesting situation over here. Because on the one hand, he gets half the profits on one field. Let's look at the other field. What happens if you do a second field and you're getting paid, and there is a payment here because you're going to get paid half the profits, right? And it got mamish blown away. And they lost money. Let's say they lost $100 was lost on the field. So now how do you balance this? So it's not we're going to go half seas on both ends of this. But rather what's going to happen is mechashvin lo chatzi hashevach sheyesh lo. We will consider the fact that he's got a half a profit coming to him. So on the good field that put up, let's change this, let's give the guy some money. Let's say that the first field profited $300, okay? So we'll look at the first field and say, okay, he's got a profit of 150 coming to him. But on the other hand, the second field lost $100. There, umenakin mimenu mashehivsi. Now he sustains the entire loss because that was his negligence on that second field. Just like we learned in the previous halachas, that if the people did it wrong, they didn't pay it wrong, they have to pay what the loss is. So if the second field, he didn't plant them properly, didn't tend to them properly. So now if that field would have been alone, what would you have done? If it was a $100 loss, he'd have to pay the $100 loss. So we now take a look. On the one part, he gets 150, half of the profits. On the other field, he has to take the full amount of the loss, which is 100. So then he walks out with, he gets Vinayta Lashar, he gets the rest, he gives him 50.
So how come the owner only gets EPS? He has no risk. Like it could be,
We're assuming that the negligent, that the fault is in the one who plants. You're right. If there'd be other things to get him off, yes, the guy who's planting could, the first thing I would assume the guy's planting says, let me take a soil sample. Let me see what's going on over here. The assumption is that the only reason for the failure is in the guy who's doing the work. That's the assumption here. If you're right, if the planter says, you know what, this was a terrible field. Well, the guy can say, wait a minute, it's a terrible field. Why'd you accept to do this? Why don't you write into the contract that I'm not taking risks? I'm not taking responsibility. If it wasn't written in with the assumption it was a good field. But you know, not all workers, we've all had experiences that not all workers do a good job, even if they're professionals. And so one field worked out, the other didn't. But the assumption is that the damage is because the fellow working, it was his negligence. Now, let's go further. Let's say when the guy was really desperate for business. So what is he? He tries to make good offers, right? Let's say he made a condition like this. Shim hiv said that if I damage any of your properties, v'yidokum, I'll get nothing. In other words, instead of getting the 50, he said that I'm planting two orchards. If there's any losses, I'll tell you right now, I'll take zero money for my work. So you think, okay. So now the guy should take 150, all the 300 profit on the one field, and the other guy absorbs $100 of the loss, and the guy's really in problems. We don't do that. Harezu asmachta, we had this before. This is only can be understood as an exaggeration of a desire to get business. In other words, we assume he didn't mean what he said, because no worker wants to work that way. And therefore, vein menakin lo elamashi hifsid. We only deduct, as we said, the one that didn't work out, he deducts, but the profit he makes. Even though he said it, you know, it's not like he wrote in a contract all this, but a lot of times, we had this before in the Rambam last week, a lot of times workers will say things as an exaggeration. In other words, I'm so sure I'll do such a good job that even if anything's wrong, I won't take any money. But that doesn't really mean it, because nobody, if he really knew that was going to happen, he really wouldn't do it. So it's usually just an exaggeration. He's trying to drum up business, and we never took him halachically. We don't take him up seriously, and therefore he doesn't lose for that. Well, you know, then it would depend. He'd have to say, I'm not exaggerating, I really mean it, and this and that. But Ram here is just saying, you know, it's the general sales talk, as it were. The guy knocking on the door, I'll do your business, even if there's any losses, I'll take no profit. Okay, so we know he never meant it, and that's part of the understanding. Now, so let's go back. Same situation, we're going to add one more point. The custom was the guy who plants gets half. And the guy who gets a field gets half. But there's another, we have to add a third thing, I'll tell you why in a minute. And sharecroppers would get a third. Okay, we're just adding one more thing. The sharecropper would get a third. But now the case is going to be different. We're not talking a case where the guy planted and there was damage and profits. We're going to talk about the following. The guy plants the trees and the trees are starting to grow. And they're growing well, they're profiting, but we're not done yet. It's the middle of the whole planting business. And the guy says, you know what, I'm leaving in the middle. The planter is leaving in the middle, leaving the owner up the creek. What am I going to do? I can't leave in the middle. So now comes out. So what does the owner have to do? So now the owner quickly has to find a sharecropper who will finish the work. Remember, the sharecropper is just working. He's not planting. He's not doing a lot of other things. That's why a sharecropper gets less of a percentage. So he's bringing a sharecropper in the middle who usually gets a third. With me so far? So the guy who the planter usually gets a half, he left in the middle. He now has to hire a sharecropper in the middle for the second half who usually gets a third. Now what happens? So now let's figure out. And then we ended off the season. We made some money. So now who gets what? So first of all, the owner of the land is allowed to bring the sharecropper in. And now, as we now are, let's say, so I believe the commentary says, so let's say they make a profit of 12 dinar. 12 dinars profit. So how much does the owner get? So the owner gets his 50%, because that's what he's supposed to get. That was the original deal. He gets 50%. And the owner of the field loses nothing. Okay, now, what's next? Now, the fact of the matter, if you really would think about it, what would you have thought mathematically the guy planting should get, because he at least did half the work, let's say he did half the work, and he's supposed to get half the profits. So what would you think would be fair to give him? A quarter. You'd think would be a quarter, because he didn't have to work. A quarter, let's say 12 was the profit, the owner took half of 6, you'd think that the planter would get 3, which would be a quarter. But we don't say this. We say, now what do we give the sharecropper though? He gets shlish. He gets the third, he gets the full third. Since he was brought in the last minute, he gets the full third, which means he will get 4 out of the 12. Correct? And what's less, vashtus hanishar, the 1/6, that's left, shalanotea, goes to the planter, means he only gets 2, share silik aspersona. Since he willingly left, he gets the short end of the stick, and the one who really benefits is who? The sharecropper. So when you bring the sharecropper in the last minute, the sharecropper would say, listen, I get a third of what's going on, but really, I'm gonna get a third of the whole thing. So since we're taking the sharecropper in late, he's the one who benefits from this. It's interesting, the Rambam does not say that the landowner gets a little more. You'd think that the Rambam would have said the landowner would get an extra 2. But the landowner is getting what he's entitled to get. They have. And the sharecropper seems to get the lion's share, and the original guy left out, he loses out. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha and Rotzik. Okay, we continue Halacha Zion. Now we're going to talk about city workers, people who are doing things for the whole community. Hanotea Ilanos, a person who plants trees, Livnea Bedina, it's for the people of the country, Shehif Seed, and he caused a terrible loss. They didn't grow properly, and I don't know why, but the camera said it's a loss that cannot be retrieved. I guess it was an irrevocable loss, and in other words, it's lost, and you can't fix those trees. Or let's say a person who's a sheikhet for the city, Shenil Buhemas, and we found out that he made many shechitas that were not correct for all, and the people were eating treif. Can't really fix that situation up. Dam Shechavel, a bloodletter who was killing people, like he was damaging people. He wasn't making them better. I guess when bloodletting had some benefits, we don't do that anymore, but when it did, I guess there was people who could do it in a way that wouldn't harm the people, but this guy was harming people. And a scribe who made mistakes in the documents that he's writing, he wasn't writing them according to halacha. And finally, umalame tinokos, and a teacher, shiposha batinokos, v'lo'olimot, that he was negligent, either not teaching the children, olimot batars, or teaching them incorrect facts. And all similar situations where you're working for the public, and these are all losses that can't be fixed. Man said, kids in school for a whole year, and the kids didn't learn anything the whole year. So that's a year was wasted, you can't make the year back. That's clear. Whatever. So all these scenarios where you can't fix what's already done. Okay. You can't bring back the loss that happened. So what do we do? You remove them without any warnings. Out. Why? Because the whole nature of the job is Shehem Kimusrim Baimdim. It's like they've been pre-warned. That's the whole understanding. You're working for the community. You can't mess up. It's not like one guy, private guy, one guy, okay, you pay me what you lose. These are things that cannot be made up. So the understanding is that such a job, you know, you don't get much leeway in mistakes. They know that they have to make great efforts to do their work properly. Since we're appointed to the community, so therefore they're removed immediately. Okay, now, next chapter, Perek Achadasar, chapter 11. We now move on to a new topic regarding workers, and that's the idea of paying workers on time. And that's the new subject in chapter 11. It's a positive commandment in the Torah to pay your worker on time. How do we know this? Shenemar, it says, Biyomo titein scharo. In the daytime, you give him his wages. Now, the main idea of the pasuk is, now this doesn't matter if you ask the guy to work in the day, he worked, you know, the day shift, or he works the night shift. It's a mitzvah on time. And then the wording of the Torah is, if he's a night worker, the Torah is saying that the whole day he has to get paid. And if he's a day worker, he has the whole night to get paid. And that's the Torah writes, that he has to get paid in biyomo. In the day he gets his wages if he worked at night. And the night he gets his wages if he worked in the day. It's very important to realize you're doing a mitzvah. Famous story was said with the Chafetz Chaim. And I believe it was his son-in-law. I could be wrong with the details again. And they had taken a coach. And, to take him home, whatever. And the coach took them home.
And he paid.
And very quickly, the son-in-law paid the coachman. Whatever, till the blacks were taken off. The Chafetz Chaim said, okay, I'm going to go pay the coachman now.
Done.
He says, don't worry, I took care of it. Chafetz Chaim like shuddered. He says, this is, what's the problem? He says, what were you thinking of when you were paying him?
The kavanas.
He says, what do you mean? I just paid him. Don't you realize you're fulfilling a positive mitzvah of paying a worker on time? Did you have that kavanah when you were paying him? I do. I'm sorry, I didn't. You lost a great opportunity, right? And there's a lot of you try to avoid as well. So you have to realize that if you're in any kind of position where you're paying people, even if whatever Jew, let's say a plumber.
Say he's not a Jew.
Well, it's not. Good question. Well, we're gonna. I don't think there's a mitzvah. I mean, we don't want you to steal. And there's still, that's a good question.
No, you're not going to steal, but you're paying them on time.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's a specific mitzvah to pay a non-Jew on time. There's mitzvahs not to steal from him.
Right.
In other words, if you never planned on paying him, we'll see there's more averas involved in here. I don't believe it's a mitzvah. We'll have to see if Raman will add it on. I don't think so. But any Jewish worker that does, any a Jewish plumber, does some of you, yeah, when you pay him, you have to have in mind, I'm paying him on time. It's a very important kavana to have a mitzvah here. Anyway, so what happens if you don't pay them on time?
When you pay them and you don't have that kavana, you still get the mitzvah.
You get the mitzvah, but it's a lower level mitzvah. You don't realize that it's done without kavana. Now, what if you delayed paying him? You certainly paid him. You paid him a day late. Okay, without, you know, it's not like the guy said it's okay, but you paid him a day late.
Transgressed.
Over below, so say he's transgressed a negative commandment. Shenemer, it says, Velo Sovol of Hashemesh, the sun should not come down without you having paid him. If it's the case we have to pay him in the day, then the sun, number one, it's a mitzvah to pay him in the day. Number two, it's an avera if you don't pay him by the time the sun comes down.
But you don't get
lashed. You see how careful, the Torah is doubling. It's positive on a positive and negative if you don't do it on time. However, ain't local, but we don't lash a person. You lash people for not fulfilling negatives, but here you don't lash them. Why? Because remember the rule,
you don't lash
on anything that can be corrected. And very easily can correct it. He's got to pay him. Well, the hope is he is going to pay him. So once he pays him, that's a lava nita klasa, and you don't get lashed for that. Now, what kind of laborers are we talking about? Any kind of laborers. It doesn't matter. Schar ha'adam. If you rented the person, I rented the person to pay for me. It's a day labor, the person. Or echad schar be'emor. If I rented his animal to pay. Ve'echad schar kem or utensils. Let's say I have a Jewish guy who has a car rental agency or whatever. You got to pay on the day. Chayiv litin bismano. V'im echar la'achar zman. And if you delay it after the time which you're supposed to pay, over below sas, you've transgressed a negative commandment. However, there is an exception in over here. The Ger Toshav, a non-Jew who lives in Israel, when we had a Beis HaMikdash and a Sanhedrin, who accepted upon himself through the seven Noached laws. So a Ger Toshav has half and not the other half. Yesho Vishum V'yomo Titein Scharo. He has to fulfill the mitzvah of pay him on the day that he gets his wages. So it says like this. The Pasuk says you can't withhold from the worker in your gates on the day you give him his wages. It says bisharecha in your gates.
It's not
in your gates. No, that includes a ger toshav. So therefore, there's a mitzvah if you don't pay the ger toshav. If you pay him, then you get the mitzvah of paying him on time. Because the Torah says, Bisharecha, the person's in your gates, and a Ger Toshav's living within your gates. So if you pay the Ger Toshav, you fulfill the mitzvah. However, V'michara, if you don't pay him on time, ain't over lo sase, you don't get the lo sase, because there it says you shouldn't press your friend, but it does, but your friend means a Jew and not a Ger Toshav. So see, the Torah excluded, if you don't pay the Ger Toshav on time, you don't transgress the negative, but if you pay him on time, you get the positive. So you see, the Rambam only seems to make this allowance for a Ger Toshav that has anything to do with this. You appear from the Rambam, you're not even thinking about Goyim over here, it is because they're not your Reyacha at all, they're not your friend, being say you're Jew, and they're not living within your gates.
They're doing the Noah law.
We don't have that nowadays. We don't have a Ger Toshav nowadays, so it's not applicable.
What about a Seventh-day Adventist?
We don't have a Ger Toshav anymore. It has to be Eretz Yisrael. You have to have a base
of English. This isn't
there's no such thing as a Ger Toshav nowadays. Finished.
But even if he's doing a seven Noah laws,
doesn't matter.
Apply.
He's a goy, but he's not a Ger Toshav. That's a whole different. We don't have a base of English. We don't have a Sanhedrin. We can't. He has to have an allocation. Bezdin has to stamp him as a Ger Toshav. The Israeli government doesn't even know what a Ger Toshav is.
Government approved. Right?
So you know, even if he's a good goy and he does some Noahide laws, and maybe if he lived 2,000 years ago, he would be a Ger Toshav. We don't have the halachic system to do it. But clearly, so these positives and negatives will not apply to a non-Jew. However, there's a whole pack of extra averus that can get thrown.
Oh,
now this is all assuming that you're paying the guy on time or not paying him on time, but the assumptions you plan on paying him. Let's just say, this avera is, let's say, I know I gotta pay you, I know I'm supposed to pay you today, and I'm not able to today. But I'm for sure gonna pay you tomorrow. So you still have transgressed.
Yeah.
Because you got to know, when you're hiring the worker, it's not like, you know, at the end of the day, okay, now let me see how I'm going to come up with the money to pay him. You know, I said, well, I'm sorry, it was an accident. The bank was closed. What are you trying to come up with? The bank was closed. You know you're hiring him today. Yesterday you knew hiring him today, or at least this morning you're hiring him today. Go to the bank today and get the money to at least pay him by nightfall, by the night after, to pay him. So even if you plan on paying him, we're just delaying him a date, you've already transgressed the negative. All right? That's clear. This idea of paying on time versus not paying on time. But we're still assuming you're paying him, want to pay him. Bayes already gets us into another dangerous area. We don't plan on paying him at all. That's going to get a different lav, a different guy. Yeah.
If the worker works for an institution like a school and isn't paid, who gets the avera?
It's a good question. You know what? Let's wait a little bit, because there will be a Rambam that I think may deal with that. Because there isn't, is there really an owner of the school? Who owns the school? It would be a very significant question. And I don't know if it's the board of directors or the owners of the directors. It's a good question.
Two questions.
It's a good question. Now the question. Okay, we'll have to see. We're just starting over here.
I'm giving it. It's just on this specific topic.
Yeah.
Let's say you pay him with a post-dated check.
You got to pay him on time. That's not payment.
Number two,
post-dated check is not payment
at all. Let's say you pay somebody by Visa, and they don't get the money for 4 or 5 days. Let's say you pay by Visa, but
that's not paying him. First of all,
if you pay him by Visa,
but he doesn't get the money into his account for 4 or 5 days.
Okay, let's put this way. It depends. Well, if the guy agrees to take Visa,
yeah, he agrees to take Visa,
then it's okay, because then he knows he's got. But you have to remember, in the olden days, you didn't get paid today. You didn't eat today.
Right.
Not even that long ago. Pre-World War II Europe. You didn't get paid that day. There was only the credit. Didn't exist. Okay, so if now the accepted way is to pay credit, and the guy's happy to get credit because he just wants to have the money, but he doesn't have to have it this minute, then that would be okay if you pay him on a credit card, if he's accepting that credit card. Okay, we'll stop over here. We're ready to get into a big sugya coming up. Okay, we've got 2, 4, 6. Can you bring one person in, please?